One of the more surreal movies that I saw while I was at Fantastic Fest was Madame Yankalova's Fine Literature Club, which was a Israeli horror fantasy film. And it's one of the first horror films from Israel and the first fantasy film ever from Israel. And the director, Emilio, was so articulate and so smart, and he had such a vision and a great sense of humor. And, you know, like I said, when you do these interviews, sometimes there's just a really good back and forth. There's a good energy, and you can tell that you're enjoying the interview just as much as they're enjoying being interviewed, because they probably have talked to 20 people at this point, and it's fun to try to bring something new to the table, bring a fresh question. I don't know if I did that necessarily, but I know that afterwards Emilio and I became Facebook friends, and you know, we're going to try to stay in touch, because he is definitely someone who I want to see where he goes from here. It's a very bizarre, he keeps referring to it as a fairy tale for adults, and I think that that's a really great way to put it. So if you guys have a chance to find the movie, go and seek it out. But until then, enjoy this interview. Hey everybody, I'm here with Emilio, the director of Madame Yankalova's Fine Literature Club. It's an Israeli film. I don't want to call it necessarily a horror film, because it's not. It's actually a romance film in a very strange way.
Yeah, we actually call it like, describe it like a dark fairy tale for grown-ups. And yeah, it's not a horror film. It has maybe some inspirations from horror films, but just we really wanted to keep the violence out of the film. You know, when I was younger, I did a short film that was really successful in film festivals. It's called Lavan. Mm-hmm. It was also shortlisted for the American Academy Awards in the short film category, but my mother hated it because it was too horror for her. It was too violent for her. And she asked me that in my next film, to do it, to keep the violence out of the film, and to leave it in the mind of the audience. And I thought that was a really good advice. And I listened to her, because you always have to listen to your mother, no?
Yeah.
And I'm very happy that I listened to her, and that I kept the horror scenes out of the film, and leave it on the head of the viewers.
Well, and I think that, like, I remember when I was sitting in the theater, and, you know, there's the first sequence where the chairs do what the chairs do. And for me, as much as I love horror movies, I never like violence. Like, I weirdly don't like stuff that's too much. So I was so tense in my chair, like, what's going to happen? And my mind was coming up with all these different things. And then you just kind of fade to the next scene, and in a way that was so much more horrible, because my mind had figured out 1,000 different options.
Yeah, so I have to tell you the truth, that when we wrote the script, I let my imagination to float, you know, and to just write horror scenes, really horror scenes. But then, you know, I kept thinking about my mother as the audience, because also my mother likes horror films. I mean, but she don't like the violence in it, and I decided to leave the violence out of it, and because I think that in many ways, the imagination of the audience, it's much more horrific than anything can describe on the film, that can be in the real film. And I decided to leave it to in the mind of the audience and the viewers.
Yeah, I think, you know, you show, it's the difference between you show a group of men that are restrained, and if you showed them getting their throats slit and shoved into a meat grinder and turned into hot dogs or whatever, the effect could also make the movie laughable if you don't have the right budget. But somehow just showing them tied up and then immediately you just cut to a giant stack of hot dogs is infinitely more worse.
I agree. I was afraid that people won't understand it, because as a director and writer, I want people to understand what I'm telling and to follow the story that I wrote. But so we were very conflicted about it, if we should show something, if we should be more gore, if we should be more gore. But we decided to keep it out, I mean, and to leave it to your head. I mean, your head is much, much more twisted and crazy than anything I can do.
And I believe you said during the Q&A that this was something you had to really fight to get the financing for. And it made me curious, is horror a very predominant genre in Israel films, in Israeli films, or is it, you know, you really have to fight to get them made out there?
I mean, it's crazy to make a horror film in Israel. Not just horror, but even any kind of genre film is very unappreciated in Israel, unfortunately. Most of the Israeli cinema is realistic, is very realistic films. I would say it again. Most of the Israeli cinema is really realistic and is chained to the reality. And most of the stories tell either the Palestinian-Israeli conflict or family dramas or minority dramas that their fight in the Israeli society. And for me, those genres are really boring. And although I have to admit that the Israeli films are very successful in Cannes or Venice or Berlin, but I find it like a vicious circle, because the festivals want those kind of films, so the Israeli filmmakers do those kind of films in order to be accepted to those kind of festivals. And for me, those festivals are not interesting at all. I'm much more interested in the genre film festivals like a Fantastic Fest. And I wanted to make the first fantasy film ever made in the Israeli history. I was really, really inspired by two friends of mine, Navot Papushado and Aaron Kashales, that did Big Bad Wolf, that won in Fantastic Fest a few years ago. And they are actually the first directors that did a horror film in Israel. So I wanted to follow them and to make the first fantasy film ever made in Israel.
And the film, I mean, the opening shot, I think the whole movie is great, but the opening I just adore, because it really... it's got almost like a Disney villain presence of, you're just following this raven as it's flying, and the twisted trees and the old beat down house that the strip club, I guess it was, that they're at. It just really sets this beautiful tone of, like you said, it isn't a horror film. It's a fantasy film with horror elements and love elements, and it is now that you say it. It truly is a fairy tale, isn't it?
Yeah. So, I mean, look at the room that we chose for making the interview. It has like a, I don't know if it's a painting or what is it. It's like a...
I almost think it's a model. Like, it's a model behind the glass. It's beautiful, though.
So, I mean, that was exactly the atmosphere I wanted in the film. And we had like paintings that inspired us. Those kind of paintings that are very gothic and very dark. And I mean, you said Disney, but more than Disney, I think that I was very inspired by Tim Burton.
Okay, I can see that too, yeah.
And especially from Edward Scissorhands, that is, I think that it's my favorite film ever. And one of the things that I really liked in Edward Scissorhands, that it tells like a completely weird story about this guy who has, instead of hands, he has scissors. And it's something that you can... I mean, when you tell the premise of it, you can almost laugh about it. I mean, it sounds so weird that who would watch a film about a guy who had scissors instead of hands? And it's not a children film. It's not a fairy tale for children. It's a fairy tale for grown-ups. So this was exactly my vision and the exact inspiration I had to tell a twisted story and a weird story about women who despise men, who hate men, who don't believe in love. And they compete each other to make, in order to bring men to the club and to make hot dogs out of them. So this can also be like a very weird story to tell, but if you put it in the right dimension, in the right context, and you, I think that you can succeed of telling these kind of stories.
I want you to tell a real quick story that you told in the Q&A, because I thought it was so charming and funny about the real life inspiration of some of the moments in this movie. Yeah. It was a friend of yours, right?
Yeah, so my muse is Sigal, is a good friend of mine. Her name is Sigal Roche. And she's like a very intense diva. And once in a while we have dinner. She is making dinner for me, and we come to her house and we talk, and we drink wine. And she always making me the same thing: schnitzel with mashed potatoes, and a glass of wine. So we were talking, and I was eating, and I was in the middle of like eating the schnitzel, and then I asked her, "So Sigal, what's going on with this guy that you are dating lately?" And then she looked at me in a very weird and dark look. And then she looked at my plate and she told me, "Here he is." And I was like in the middle of eating the schnitzel, and I was like choking. Oh, because she gave me this look, and I know her, and she's like a very weird woman. And I thought that it might be true. I mean, because I know this woman and I know what she's capable. And I said, "Oh my God, am I eating this guy now?" By the way, I'm not sure that she was lying.
So you never met the guy she was dating?
No, I mean, and Tel Aviv is a very small city. I mean, where is he? You know, where is he, this guy? And I never ate again in her house. We still meet, but we go to a restaurant to eat schnitzel. I mean, I'm not eating in her schnitzels anymore.
She gave you some sleeping pills too, right?
Yeah, I mean, once, it's also a true story that was in the film, that I was like really depressed. My heart was broken, and I was really depressed and in anxiety. And I came to her crying, and she told me, "Emilio, everything will be all right. I will make you schnitzel." And she like made me a schnitzel, but she put sleeping pills in it because she felt that I needed to sleep. So, and I couldn't sleep because I was 3 days up, anxiety and depressed. And then she gave me the schnitzel, and I fell asleep immediately for 2 days or so.
You think after the first day she might at least attempt to wake you up to make sure everything was okay?
Yeah, but she didn't. I mean, she didn't care. I mean, she just wanted me to relax.
All right, well...
By the way, maybe one more... If I would sleep one more day, I would find myself as a schnitzel. You know?
Exactly. The film is currently up for acquisition. After Fantastic Fest, what's the next step with this film? Where's the next place maybe that people can see it?
So the film is open to acquisitions. It will be screened again here in Fantastic Fest. And we have a lot of film festivals ahead of us in the States and abroad in Europe and South America.
Okay, well, you made a great movie. I can't wait to see the next one.
Thank you very much.
Listening to the Geekscape Network.